Yes? Okay. That those of you who are listening to me say this, that I want to say something personally, that I personally believe and have as a deep part of my whole understanding of God. I don't believe that in the concept that I'm right, you're wrong. We're all flavors in the ice cream world. But there is something that I want to give you that's in me that helps me to understand and have peace. When we see the tragedies that we see in this day and age, what we're experiencing right now, and some of us have family there. Katie Burkholder has family that lived in Texas. Cindy and I have, my sister lives in Texas. The Carmody's have family that live in Texas. Or in Florida, I'm sorry. And my sister lives in Florida. I'll get there. And they live in Florida. Katie's live in Texas, and there may be others of you. And so you're concerned about this. And when you look at this, the thing you may hear, which we don't want to receive as God's words, and that is all this stuff is a judgment against the United States because of its sin and corruption. That is not how it works. How it works is this. Our world, from Adam and Eve, is under the curse of God's on this world. On this world. So all of the things that we experience that are the floods, and I could make a whole long list of everything, our life in the fallen world, even weather itself, results in the fall of man. And so when we look at this, if someone stands up on TV or that and says, this is God's judgment against the United States, just turn them off. It's the curse that we're experiencing. It's the fallen man. Now, when we are born again by the Spirit, we live in a new world, a world that's the kingdom of God. So we can have peace to understand what is going on and to understand that we don't, quote unquote, cause this. Sin is as rampant in the United States today as it was historically, if you read history of the United States. So ponder that. Think on that. And that gives me tremendous freedom as a believer to walk in that place of knowing that's the way the world is. And what he's going to do with this world is burn it up at one time, someplace down the road. Then you understand why we see all this and why it's happening. This all is a result of Adam and Eve and their sin. And the result of all of that that's unfolding in this history, in this world. But I am a child of God. And you have a new family and a new life. And you're born again. And you're dead to sin and alive to Christ. So that's the mini message I just wanted to bring to you. I want to talk to you today about poisonous berries. And if you would turn with me in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4. When I gave it to Rose, she came to me and said, hey, that's not in chapter 5. And they thought I was writing some new scripture. And I said, absolutely not. You know what happens to those who try to write new scripture? Ain't going there. It was chapter 4. But I'm going to read to you 38 to 41. Elisha returned to Gilgal, where there was a famine in the region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servants, put on a large pot and cook some stew for these prophets. One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds, or it could be considered fruit, as his garment could hold. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, but as they began to eat it, they cried out, man of God, there is death in this pot. And they could not eat it. Elisha said, get me some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people to eat. And there was nothing harmful then in the pot. They experienced poisonous berries. Do you know that there is a fact and a truth about nature that there are berries. There's particularly one called the taxus. It's an ornamental evergreen shrub with fresh red berries. The actual berry itself is safe to eat, but there's little green seeds in it. And at the center of the berry, they contain an alkaloid toxin, which is extremely deadly, poisonous, and harsh if swallowed. There's other parts of that tree that are poisonous too, the bark and the leaves. But what I want you to picture with me now is an illustration of poisonous berries. Poisonous berries. What does that have to do with Jesus and his new church? You may think. Let's also turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. It's right, if you see Isaiah, you're right next door to him. It says this, starting at verse 18. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, and our vineyards that are in bloom. As I drove in here this morning coming down Colebrook, they have a vineyard planted. And if you want to see something awesome, drive by it. You see all these beautiful bunches of grapes growing there. I mean, it is just beautiful to see. If you'd have seen this berry that I'm telling you about today growing, it looks beautiful. However, there are those berries, and not in that field, but there are those fruit, those berries that we can eat that have poison in it, referring to poisonous berries. Or as I've learned to talk about, is the little foxes that spoil the vine. And there were, what that means is that these little foxes that would come into the vines that were growing, and they'd eat them. And just like raccoons can do to cornfields, if you ever understand and seen what, talk to a farmer, this field is ravaged by raccoons who've picked the corn and eaten it. And ruined acres upon acres of vegetation and food. But there are little foxes spoiling the vines. There are berries with poison in it. And those berries, what that produces is toxic. It's death. The little foxes that spoil the vine produce death to that vine. Now turn with me to Matthew, chapter 5, please. Now, we know Jesus is training his disciples to be the first of his new church. And I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. We'll probably stop. Yeah, we'll go to 26. Now, this whole 5, 6, and 7 chapters of Matthew can be called the character traits of the believers. This is Jesus teaching about what his people are to be like, what his church members, if I could say it that way, would be like, what the born-again believers are to be like. He's teaching these in here, and we know a lot about it, but I just want to bring this one out this morning. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift right there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, and your adversary may hand on your way, or the adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and then you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. All I want us to focus on this morning is what's in verse 3. Starting at verse 23, the line says, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister," then jump down to verse 23. "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and give your gift." Jesus wanted his first disciples to be aware of something very, very important. And that is, there can be a poisonous berry in your midst. And that poisonous berry, he uses the word anger, but it could also be defined, if you study that whole word, resentment. If you harbor resentment, it is that destructive, that it's like the poisonous berry that's eating and poisoning those who partake of it. It's poisoning yourself. It's the fox that will eat at the vine, and the vine will die. Jesus wants his disciples to know something. Right after he teaches about he's the fulfillment of the law and what that means, he's saying to them, "Guys, I want you to know something. I want you to be aware that there's something you are to live, and that is in the church," which he doesn't use that word there, but the church that I'm building, which he has done, and is building and putting together with people, he's saying there's one thing you got to understand, and that is you are not to live carrying resentment. And how much do I have to deal with that? Whenever you give your gift at the altar. That's a lot. For us, it may be every Sunday when you come here and place money in the offering plate. To you, it may be sending a check to someone in the body of Christ, giving, tithing, and offering. But what he's saying to them here is this: when you are doing this, you need to see something and ask something may be in you. Are you a poisonous berry? Do you have poisonous berries in you? Are you a little fox that's going to spoil the vine because of resentment? He uses the word anger and defines it in a big, powerful way there, to connect it to murder and everything else. But what the key to that section is saying to these guys, listen, do not let anger be in your midst. Do not let it be in your own hearts. Because when you have it in your hearts, it is a poisonous berry to those who are going to be with you. Resentment, anger, bitterness comes many times from offenses, that you were treated unfairly by somebody. This bitterness, resentment, and anger is an irritation or dissatisfaction or disgruntlement, hard feelings and ill will. You might find as I read this that you might have one of these now and then in your experience. Lingering ill will towards a person for a real or imagined wrong produces attitudes of condemnation, malice, meanness, nastiness, indignation, pouting, insults, and puts down. Jesus said, "I don't want that in my church." Now, a law can't deal with this, but he says, you need to know in yourself if you have this. Peter, James, John, and all the rest of you guys, if you're carrying that towards someone and it's there, get it out, get rid of it, deal with it. Don't let it in you, because in you, it will spread its poison. First in you, that's the thing about it. But those who experience you, the poisonous berry to the berry itself isn't death. It's not until you bite the seeds. And when you eat what's internally or experience what's internally, then you find the toxic experience. Then you can even find death in that. I can walk with you and be with you and around you. I don't know what's inside of you. I don't know what you say when you're not around me. I'm just going to use me as an example because nobody says anything bad or thinks about me bad. That way you're all not feeling I'm stepping on your toes. But the truth of it is there are things in your life experienced with other people, particularly believers. And what we're dealing with here at Grace is those of us who are trying to learn and come to grips with what does one another really mean? What does it mean for you and me in this world today? What is the church to be experiencing? What are we to be experiencing with one another? If we take this perfect word of God, which we believe is perfect, and we believe every jot and tittle about it is what God wants to say to us. And if we even read our Bibles in the New Testament, and mine has red print where Jesus speaks, even when he speaks, the authority that's there is trying to get us to see something. He's going to say down the road, love one another as I have loved you. But that's down the road when he gives that on them. Because he's in them dealing with in their lives and in their hearts the things that they have and carry that may fit that category. Resentment, condemnation, malice, nastiness, indignation, pout, insult, put down. And we can get into all kinds of things as to why somebody is like that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there were things that were done to me. You criticized me behind my back, and I found out. You gossiped about me. I found out about it. I don't want to spend time on the whole list because I don't need to, because you know what's in your heart. You know. I don't have to tell you because the Holy Spirit wants us to see this, and he will speak to us from his word about all this. And his word is very clear in the fact that don't let it there. Don't let it there. Get it out. Deal with it. He said, how do you do this? He said, go to the brother that's offended you. Go to the brother who has offended you. And you remember, brother or sister has something against you. Now that's amazing that you have something against me and I realize it. That's amazing, isn't it? There's a little simple truth here that's not obvious. I can tell when you got something against me. You don't have to say a word to me. I can tell how you look, how your behavior, your body, your eye, and how it moves and the things it's about. Now, that's not because I'm some great psychic. It's because we project resentment. We project it. You can hide it all you want. But you can't. That's why Jesus said, if your brother has something against you, how do I know? I see it. I experience it. Maybe even the brother told me about it. You know, those types of things. So what we want to do is be willing and open to take this application that Jesus was giving his disciples because he wanted them to know, my church cannot love one another as long as you carry poisonous berries inside of you. Well, you say, well, how do you get rid of it? Well, he's talking here about, if I know you got something, I'll come and say, Cindy, I'll pick her. Do you have something against me? Something I've done? And she might say, well, now that you ask, yes. Something I've been carrying for a long time. And when you carry this inside of yourself, this poisonous berry poisons you because it's building resentment and it's beginning to build a wall between you and somebody else. Our brothers and sisters in Christ is who we're really talking about. I can find in a day's time issue after issue that I could be condemning to someone else. Even you, believe it or not. You wouldn't even know it necessarily because I know that I'm to deal with that right away. I know what foxes are and how they bite. But what I'm saying is if I know It says, go to them quickly and get it fit, get it worked out. How do you work it out is the question, very simply. Before I tell you, Paul says later, he calls it weak Christians and strong Christians, weak in faith and strong in faith. And that one that irritates the daylights out of you is when you want the liberty to do something and there's someone standing there that's in your church or a Christian and points to you and says, what are you doing that for? You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. That offends me. And all you do is think, well, you're hung up, and blow them off. What he's teaching there, that's now Romans. He's teaching something that in us, we can experience with each other the judgmentalism, and it's pretty amazing, that comes soon, and we're going to talk about that one. The judgmentalism that can be between us and in us over certain ways we believe and think. All of that he once dealt with. Not just tell somebody else about it, but to that person. You can carry something against a person, especially in your close relationships, or even beyond that. You can carry something, and that person has it in them. And there's something in that relationship that seems to, at times, just go sour, and you can't figure out what it is. And you go through the sour moments, and you clean it up, like sour throw-up from a baby. It's like that. And then you clean it up and it's okay, it's okay now. But then it happens again, and it happens again, and it happens again. Something's breaking down. And what is it? It becomes ultimately the things that you argue about, the things that would cause you to walk out of the house angry at, saying things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and doing that. But something's going on in that person, the way they're reacting at me. And so when I just have enough guts to deal with it, and the Lord's working to bring it out, and that comes out, all of a sudden, there is a release that no longer has that little wall or that fox eating away at your vine. You could pretend you don't have this, but I guarantee you, if you're human and you have any part of the flesh in your life, which you still do, you got it. You can feel this. You can do this. And he knows that. And that's why he's telling his disciples, guys, get it fixed. How do we deal with this? How do we fix it? Okay. It's easy. It's simple to understand. When I say easy, it's easy to understand. It's harder to do because it's going to cause you to humble yourself. When it's pointed out to you that you are offended, you're offending someone, or someone has something against you, resentment and all those other kinds of things that we're talking about and listing here, the person may come to you and say something. You know, you offended me. You know, when you did what you did, I didn't mean it. That's not the answer. The Lord gave me an illustration one time of you driving down the road. Somebody runs out in front of you. A child runs out and riding a bicycle and you hit them. And down they go and they die. You didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. But they're dead. See, whether you meant it or not is not the point. That doesn't help the matter. What helps the matter is this. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm sorry. Jesus preached repentance. And repentance is in its simplest form is a change of the mind. It's a place where you turn to a different thinking or a different way. The repentance of us totally is repenting from being the sinner that we are to becoming born again. But he wants us to know that repentance is turning the mind, being renewed. When your mind is renewed, it's experiencing repentance. It's turning and going another way in your thinking. And so when you are living your life, and that moment comes when the person looks at you and says, or you have the courage to even go and say, is there something I've done? And you hold your breath, because you know there's something. And one of the other things is they start to avoid you. Don't worry. You don't always have to come and shake my hand or give me a hug to make me think that you're not avoiding me. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when we do connect, when we do have time with each other, you'll know it, because you do know it. Now it's omitted. So when we admit it, what do we do with it? When Cindy would say to me, if she did, which she has at times in 48 years, you know, what you've just done hurt me. What you just did offended me. For her to have the freedom to just tell me that makes me aware of it. And when I'm aware of it, what am I going to do? Well, a lot of times what we do is get defensive. We want to defend ourselves. Jesus says, that's not what you do here. Settle it quickly. How do you settle it quickly? I look into your eyes and I say, I'm sorry. Now comes the best part. If you don't add this last part, it doesn't complete. He says, settle it. Settle it. Don't let it hanging. The best part then is, will you forgive me? That's the package. I can say I'm sorry to you all day, but it doesn't bring that settlement. Settle with your adversary at that moment of time. Settle with the one who has this in them against you. And you want to know if you have anything against anybody? What do you say about them behind their back to others that you feel comfortable with? That's just a little sign that something's going on inside toward that person. Attitudes of all kinds that are against me or me against you have to be taken care of. And if I try to say it any other ways, I'm just going to be redundant. And Cindy always says to me, Denny, we get it. We get it. You don't have to say it 16 times. We get it. The question is, do we do it? Well, let's find how can we do that. Turn to Colossians in closing, chapter 3 and verse 13. Verse 13, I mean. Sorry. It's in yellow, so I saw I got it right. I told you wrong. In verse 13 is tucked in six words that is the dynamite of our life in Christ. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I don't even have enough brainy articulate abilities to try to be able to explain how that works. But it just comes, will you forgive me? And I, without hesitation, need to flow it to you and say, yes, I forgive you. Wait to hear that answer. Well, we can't forgive and forget. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. My brain can't forget what's been done to me years ago. And if I try to, the only thing will happen if I go to a neurosurgeon and he destroys part of my brain. Your brain remembers everything that's ever happened to you from the moment you're born. It's there. And they've even done scientific experiments, and I'm almost finished, scientific experiments where they could pry a person or in surgery, in a situation, and they could bring about something in their life way back. So it's all there. You're not going to forget that I insulted you, most likely. But you can forgive it. You try to think forgiveness and forgetfulness and forget is the same. It's not going to work. Not going to work. You forgive. That's it. He doesn't hold your sin against you. He dealt with that in Calvary. He paid the price. He took it on himself. Denny, you offended me. When that person tells me that, and I take on my, then I can take on to myself death, to myself, and say, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And when I say that, that lays it on. Look, this applies itself to everything you do. Husbands and wives, when you have your arguments, you're going to have them. And if you pretend you don't, you're in some la-la land, or you're taking medication or smoking weed all the time or something like that. But the thing is you're going to have this. And I used to have this years ago, and I want to run from an argument. That's my personality. And I'd go get in my truck, and I'd be huffing and puffing, and I'd start down the road, and oops, this verse would pop up. I hated it. You are to be unto your wife as Christ is unto the church. She started it. And I wouldn't go very far, and I'd turn around, and I'd go back inside. And that would just haunt me or convict me, whatever word we want to use, to make me realize that I had something to bring to the table to her in a situation. Be unto my wife as Christ is unto the church. But then I can go, well, you're to be unto me as the church is unto Christ. That's not the way it says it. Deal with it. Ending with this. Therefore, God's chosen people, you're chosen, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. When there is unity in our midst, when there is unity in a husband and wife, the Bible says it commands a blessing. It bestows a blessing. And that's reality to all of us with each other. Let's pray. Father, just help us to see as only you can help us to see. I know we can grow by knowing what you're trying to tell us in your word, and that we can receive it without condemnation, because there's no condemnation, but we can receive it as instruction on how we relate to one another, how we are to be with one another. How is it that we can come to the place where we love one another as you loved us? How can we come to the place, and we can come to the place, or you had never said this, that the world will know that we are your disciples, how we love each other. Thank you, Father, that we can do it, because you said we can. And we praise you for this. And I pray in this, as we have been listening to this message, or whatever part of it you can retain or they can remember, is that there's something stirred inside of them that they'll realize that stirring is your Holy Spirit telling them, get it dealt with, get it fixed, get it settled. And we thank you for this. And we praise you, Father. And we give you glory and honor that you love us and that you keep us, and nothing can separate us from the love that you have for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.